Joining us now is the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's won a couple of Super Bowls. He's been doing this a long time, and he is a frequent guest of the show. Thanks for doing this. We welcome Kevin Colbert. Kevin, how are you today?
Doing great, Joey. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. It's great to have you on the show. We love having you on the program. You offer so much insight on so many levels, and the Steelers have had a long history of diversity with the Rooney Rule, named after Dan Rooney, the owner of your team, and Mike Tomlin, your head coach, is black. I've always wondered, the importance of diversity can't be overstated. I'm curious on your viewpoint, considering how close you are to it. You hired Mike Tomlin. Can you talk about that for us?
Really, the hiring process, you know, Mr. Rooney was very, you know, involved with establishing, you know, fair hiring processes throughout the National Football League. Of course, the Rooney Rule started with the coaches, and it was just to give minorities the same opportunities that others had enjoyed. And, you know, it was something that he believed in, we believed in, and really it's a shame that we have to have that type of urging in today's world. But Mr. Rooney felt it was necessary, and I believe it has worked. In Coach Tomlin's case, you know, Coach Tomlin was someone that caught our eye as a young, up-and-rising coordinator. And, you know, when you look back on the Steelers' history, they had had success hiring young defensive coordinators, both Chuck Knoll and Coach Bill Cowher, coming from that vein. So really, they did the organization did nothing different. It just happened to be that Mike was a minority. But really, we weren't fulfilling any type of rule. Because we actually, you know, we interviewed two minorities. And, of course, Ron Rivera was the other one. And, of course, Ron has gone on to have a great career as well. So I think, you know, both Ron and Mike and, you know, Coach Dungy, I mean, there are minority guys that have had great success in this league. And I just think it's, you know, we have to be open to making sure that we're including a minority, especially at the lower level, because these guys have to come from somewhere. You know, they're not just created head coaches. So if we're having the same type of hiring policies at the lower levels for assistant coaches and coordinators, naturally it'll flow into the head coaching world.
You've been with the Steelers for 17 years, first as director of football ops, then as general manager. How has talent assessment evolved over that time?
You know, it really hasn't changed in our opinion. You know, we're still looking for good players that are healthy and good citizens. Sometimes the good player part doesn't work out to our expectations. Sometimes we get surprised by an injury, or a player will suffer an injury once we get them. And then the character stuff will come back and get you every once in a while because, you know, the guys you believe to be good guys, maybe they had some challenges we didn't know about or give enough credence to. But really it hasn't changed. You know, there's a lot of buzz about analytics and their role in our world, and we acknowledge that, and we use analytics to a certain extent, but I don't think analytics will ever replace the actual play of the player and the character makeup of the player. The things you can't measure, I think, are still the most important. And, you know, again, we'll utilize analytics, and it's big in this world. But as I remind our scouts, look, there's no shortcuts to doing this. There might be a better way to look at data and a quicker way, but you still have to go through the process to make sure we make as good a decision as possible.
And when you say there's no shortcut, Kevin, are you saying putting in the work as a scout and actually going to see the players in person as opposed to using data and watching film?
Yeah, exactly, Joey. I mean, you can look at data and say, okay, this player gets so many yards per catch, so many yards after a catch, whatever. And that's all well and good. But, you know, I want to know, how does he react on the sidelines during a game when he gets a touchdown or he drops a pass or he throws an interception? What's the human element of it? You know, I challenge our analytics people. I say, you know, show me a way to measure the intangibles, and then, you know, you'll really catch my attention, because I don't think that'll ever replace replace or be lost in our evaluations, because this is still a sport that's played by humans with human emotions, and emotions are really a big, big part of our game. And boy, you've got to be careful not to minimize that. Again, they have their place in this evaluation process, but they'll never overtake the human judgment, in my opinion.
Our guest is Kevin Colbert, general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you talk about emotion. Your defense is pretty young right now, and you were third in sacks, fifth against the run, and surrendered under 20 points a game. You've got some young guys that are pretty emotional. You drafted Ryan Shazier, Bud Dupree. They're both 22. Jarvis Jones is only 25. How are you going to integrate some of the younger players in the secondary before we talk about the linebackers, which look pretty good? I mean, it's pretty young outside of William Gay, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we don't know who the 22 starters will be at this point, but if it shapes up like we think it will, we'll only have three or four 30-plus. And, of course, one of those is a quarterback, Ben, which that's where you want a little bit of age and experience, especially when you got a great one like he. So we are a very young team, and the young guys have to. It's not so much us acclimating them to the team. It's more them acclimating themselves and proving that they can help us win games. And once they do, they'll be integrated into the offense or defense, wherever they happen to play.
So Arthur Motes, linebacker, saying the D is practicing a lot quicker than last year. Why do you think that is happening? Because Keith Butler's got a year under his belt as your defensive coordinator. Maybe some of the younger players getting schemes down. Yeah. I mean, again, having Dupree and Shazier, who are young, they seem to have a little experience. And Jarvis Jones has been looking like he's the leader on that defense, with all due respect to James Harrison. But why is that, do you think?
Yeah, I do believe it is. You know, it's Coach Butler's second year, and there wasn't a lot of difference in what Coach Butler believes in and what Coach LeBeau believed in. But there was changes, and it's the second year is a lot easier than the first. And then you get, you know, guys like Shazier and Bud Dupree, Stephon Tuitt. They get through it, and they, you know, they have a full off season with the program, another off season, I should say. So I do think there's less thinking and more reacting on their part. Now, the rookies, they're still swimming. That's natural. That's normal. And again, they'll catch up, but, you know, there will be some growing pains with those guys, but at least we have a couple more young guys to maybe pick from as we try to put the back end of the defense together.
And you talk about rookies swimming, and I've always found it intriguing in terms of, as you said, acclimating and getting into the system, because it's a wide, eye-opening experience when you get into an NFL training camp coming out of college, no matter how much experience, no matter what college you came out of, even if they're running a pro-style offense and even if they have the most well-known coach in college football, it's still not professional football in the purest sense. As far as getting some of these younger guys acclimated, has it been a challenge as far as OTAs and the practices of the CBA having changed in the last year?
Yeah, it has, because we have less time to spend with the players. And that's, you know, that's the truth. But the reality is we all have the same rules to abide by. So we have to figure out a way to best utilize the time that we get. And, you know, it's not like one team gets any more time than we do. So you can't, you can never use that as a reason. You just try to, again, teach these kids, you know, about NFL football. But until they experience it, you know, all the classroom work in the world will never prepare them for what's going to happen come the fall. Every step is a new step for them. OTAs was different. You know, mini camp was different. First day in pads is different. The first preseason game is different. First regular season. So it's just a constant learning practice for these guys. And you just hope that, you know, they don't lose their confidence. And if they, you know, they find a little bit of success, you hope it builds, and you hope it builds sooner than later. But in all honesty, if you try to rush it, you may be hindering the player more than helping him.
And if you're just joining us, our guest is General Manager Kevin Colbert of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I read something, and it seems to be accurate, but you're using robots in practice? Did I read that correctly?
Well, it's not a robot per se. It's an old popsicle tackling dummy, if you know what I'm talking about. The old ones, they're about 6 foot tall. The players could hold them. You could tackle them, block them, whatever. There's a group out of Dartmouth that has perfected this, and they've actually added a robot bottom so that you can move that dummy. So, you know, you can use it in one-on-one pass rush where the dummy is actually the quarterback, and you can move it to simulate a quarterback. You can have it run routes. You can have it run with receivers. It's just now starting to come into they're probably still a year away from mass production. And it's a little bit of trial and error, but it's been something that's it's been real interesting to watch. And, you know, I think that these robotic tackling dummies probably have the same potential to our game that the jugs machine had for baseball. I think they'll be that impactful once they get it perfected. But it's been a neat little tool to work with.
Last question before we let you go, Kevin. You have an embarrassment of riches on the offensive side of the ball. Antonio Brown, who said his piece and then showed up at camp like a pro. The Martavis Bryant suspension and the Le'Veon suspension hurts. But you have such depth on offense with guys like Marcus Wheaton and Sammy Coates and Darius Hayward Bay. And as well, you got D'Angelo in the backfield. It's incredible. And you got to replace Heath Miller. And Ladarius Green, I know, hasn't been practicing. He's been working out. But talk about your offense. We know it all starts with Big Ben, and he and Todd Haley seem to be working really well together. Talk about your offense and some of the challenges and how you think it's going to shake out.
Well, I mean, you know, we do have some pretty good players on the offensive side. You know, the offensive line is stable, and we'll get Marquise Pouncey back. We have a good competition at left tackle between Alejandro Villanueva and Ryan Harris, who comes over from Denver. Other than that, the other four are set, and they've been working well together. Of course, to keep Ben upright. Of course, we have a franchise quarterback who I still believe is in the prime of his career. We have a special receiver and a special runner, and then some nice guys to complement. And, you know, it's our job to, if we get dealt, you know, suspension, it's our job to make the most of it. And, you know, and Mr. Rooney says this, or taught us this a long time ago, you can never give your team a reason to lose. And that's something that sticks with Coach Tomlin and myself. And last year when we had some injuries, but, you know, it's just our job to make the most of it.
Well, it seems like you've done that the last few years. It looks like you're set to have another good season. Good luck with that, and thank you for being on the program, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Joe, you take care now.